Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Taos areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you'll enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study at Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me. 989-305-2721 is my phone number, or you can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. Chapter 8 of the book of Zechariah is our study for today, and this is actually a continuation of chapter 7, which we looked at last week. So I'll give us a quick reminder of chapter 7 before we get into chapter 8. Chapter 7, the Jews went to the Lord through their priests and their prophets to find out if they could stop their fifth month of fasting, since they were no longer captive and the temple was being rebuilt in Jerusalem. And God's response was to ask them, to whom did they fast? For God or for themselves? God never asked them to fast. He had asked that they render true judgments. He had asked that they show kindness and mercy to one another. He had asked that they not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And he had asked that they not devise evil against one another in their hearts. Well, the Jews had refused to listen to this. They chose instead to turn a stubborn shoulder against God. They had stopped their ears, and they had hardened their hearts to be diamond hard. This, of course, made God quite mad, and so he scattered them throughout all the nations and left the land desolate. And this fasting, remember, God didn't ask this. It was a show. It was the wrong show at that. That's not what God asked from them. And yet they thought that this made them right with God. Sounds like a lot of people these days. Now, knowing this, let's get into chapter 8 of Zechariah. Let's read the chapter, starting in verse 1. Zechariah 8. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts? Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets who were present on the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before those days, there was no wage for man or any wage for beast, neither was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came in, for I set every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts, for there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things, And as you have heard, been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts. So again I have purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. And thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. All through this chapter, there is a constant refrain of the Lord of hosts. Your text may read as the Lord Almighty, which I don't think is really the idea. Your text may say the Lord of armies, very clear. The Lord of heavenly forces. Whichever translation you have, all through this chapter, the point should come through loud and clear. God, who has charge of the angelic armies, is going to make what he said come to pass. When he says the Lord of hosts, what he's meaning is, I have the power to control all of the angelic armies, and what I say goes, because I have the power. I have the angels, and they will listen to me. All through this chapter, power, power, power. Now, of course, we all know that God has this power. The question that should occur to us is, what is so important in this chapter that God wants to make sure that the Jews in Zechariah's day and we today, that we absolutely know that what he says here is going to happen? What is he declaring that is so crucial that he has to emphasize that he is the Lord of hosts? It starts with, God is going to return to Zion. He's going to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And from this, there will come many blessings, but it starts with God being there in the midst of the people, his people. And God is going to bring all the people together in Jerusalem. And God will be with his people, and they will have faithfulness and righteousness. Now, of course, before this time, since when have the Jews ever been faithful to God? When have they ever been righteous to God? And the answer, well, we'll come back to that. But the next paragraph has God speaking of things that were much before this time that he's writing about now, when things were blessed. He knows about their time when they received no wage, their time of captivity. But before that, before their captivity, Judah and Israel, and Israel's important to note here, Judah and Israel were blessed to live in the promised land when the people each had their own vine and their own fig tree. Those days are coming back, God promises. And as a part of this, God insists that his people from now on, they're going to be people who speak truth, that judge true, that don't devise evil in their hearts against one another, people who don't love falsehoods. Additionally, those fasting months that they had asked about back in chapter 7, no more mourning, no more fasting for the people. Instead, those months are going to be changed into months of celebration. And finally, People from the world over are going to want to know the Lord. They're going to come to Jerusalem where God dwells with his people. And the text says that these nations will grab hold of the robe of the Jews to join them, which means that when he speaks about these nations, he's talking about Gentiles, non-Jews, that will join the Jews, Gentile and Jew together. So what does all this mean? Now remember, he is the Lord of hosts. What he says is going to come true. This is going to happen. All of this is very important. Did it ever come to fruition? Has it ever come to pass? Did the Jews ever all come back to Jerusalem? Did they ever all prosper just as they did during the time of King David and of King Solomon? Did they ever live in righteousness and faithfulness? Did they ever get their fig tree and vine? Did they ever get to change from fasting to feasting? Did God ever go back to Jerusalem after leaving it during the captivity to the Babylonians? Remember, this chapter is tied to the previous chapter, chapter 7, where the Jews had come to God asking if they could stop fasting, and God chastised them for their lack of faith. This chapter is about how God, unlike the Jews, God is going to keep his word. He will keep his faith, unlike the Jews. They never kept their word. And things are going to be different this time in this chapter, unlike before. Not just before during their captivity, but before when they lived under King David and King Solomon, times of prosperity, but they were faithless during those times. And it's going to be different because now it's not going to be just the Jews. That's the point of the end of this chapter. The Gentiles are going to be in this kingdom as well. So now the question arises, when have the Gentiles, when have whole nations wanted to join the Jews in following God? If you've been studying with us in the book of Zechariah, you know the answer because we've had it in the first six chapters of Zechariah. And that is during the time of Christ, turning to Christ, to Jesus, because this chapter is a fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Let us turn to our New Testament. This is where the answer lies. Look at with me in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. The writer in verse 22 gives us this. He says this, "But you have come to Mount Zion." Now he's writing to Christians, and he says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborns who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Now remember the book of Zechariah. Highly figurative. As the writer writes here in the book of Hebrews, this is still figurative as well. The whole world of humanity cannot possibly fit in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. But what if Mount Zion in this vision isn't the actual mountain, but instead is figurative? See, he says, the Hebrew writer says, the heavenly Jerusalem, not the earthly Jerusalem. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the writer writes. See, God's kingdom is a mountain that's bigger than the literal Mount Zion. It's taller than any other mountain on earth. And of course, we know when we go to the tops of the highest mountains here on earth, we need oxygen to go with us because we cannot possibly survive there. This is all figurative. It's not literal. Mount Zion is not that tall. But in God's figurative kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, that mountain is big enough to house all the nations of the world. Everybody is invited. There is room for everybody in God's kingdom. Now, before, under the law of Moses, the Gentiles, they didn't want anything to do with God. They wanted nothing to do with this God that the Jewish people wanted nothing to do with God. Why would the Gentiles want anything to do with God? But here, through Christ, as we just read in the book of Hebrews, through Christ, many people, many nations, many Gentiles are coming to God because this is what Zechariah prophesied. And remember, Lord of hosts, this will come to pass. When did it come to pass? Through Christ. And additionally, as we just read in the Hebrew writer's writing, in Christ we are righteous people made perfect in faith. just as Zechariah prophesied. Now, without faith, we're not in Christ's kingdom. After all, back in chapter 11, verse 6 of the book of Hebrews, the writer teaches us, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And again, returning to chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, God is in our midst. He is here with us this day because we are in the heavenly Jerusalem. One last set of scriptures for us to show that Zechariah was talking about Christianity in his prophecy, talking about the church. Look with me at the Gospel of John in chapter 4 and verse 21, where Jesus is speaking to a woman of Samaria about where worship to God should happen. John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain," this is in Samaria, "nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." See, the point that we learn here from these verses, Jesus makes it very plain. We don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. We don't have to go to Mount Zion. Why not? Because we've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We don't have to go to the literal city of Jerusalem. We can worship God wherever we are, as long as it is done in spirit, meaning the right attitude, but also in truth, meaning in ways in which God ordains, ways in which God has instructed us to worship. That is what the Father seeks from people. It is people who have the right attitude. I want to worship God. I want to be with my God just as my God is with me, and I will worship him in ways in which he tells me to worship. And in Zechariah, while he doesn't use the word spirit there, that's exactly what he's speaking about. He's speaking about a people who want to come to Mount Zion, people who want to come to Jerusalem, who want to be in the presence of the Father, just as the Father says, "I will be with my people, and I will be their God." Jesus tells us here in the Gospel of John, this is the exact thing that Zechariah was writing about. Now, he doesn't quote Zechariah, but everything that he speaks about is the same. It's not on this mountain in Samaria. It's not on Mount Zion in Jerusalem that God is going to seek worshipers. It's those who worship in spirit and truth. Because the kingdom, Jesus's kingdom, it's a mountain that covers the whole earth, figuratively, of course. In the book of 1 John, in chapter 3 and verse 18, John writes this for us: "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Christianity is true. I've been spending a lot of time looking at and listening to, reading about atheists and those who deny Christianity, and scoffers and those who would try to tell us that Christianity is not true. And yet every time I turn in the scriptures and I look in the scriptures over and over again, you know what I read? I read that it is true, that it is about truth. It's about being honest. And I find it ironic that people's accusation against Christianity is that it is false, all the while that it is claiming that it is true. It is showing that it is true. Their claims that it is untrue are never proven. But over and over again, God's word is proven true. And God calls us to be true. There's no lie. There's no deception in Christianity. Now, I know, sadly, that there have been Christians in the past, and there will be Christians in the future who will lie. They will use deception because they think that it is good for the kingdom. It is not good for the kingdom. Lying and deception does not belong in Jesus's kingdom. Honesty and truth does. What kind of worshipers does God seek? Those who worship in spirit and in truth, not lies and deceptions and falsehoods. Those things come from the devil. We Christians, true. We Christians, honest. We need to do a better job of being those kind of people, people who follow God, because God is true. He cannot lie. And we people, we Christians, We should not have lies coming out of our mouths if we follow our God. We should never be as faithless as the Jews were, because Christianity is based on truth. And our instructions over and over again in the scriptures is to set aside the lie, to put away lying, to be honest and be truthful. And our worship, John chapter 4, is to be worship in spirit and in truth, just as Zechariah foretold for us. Because before this, the Jews, they worshiped God, but they were lying because they worshiped their idols at the same time. They said that they followed God. How they fasted all the time, but they never, ever considered one another. They never considered the poor. And these are the things that we Christians should always have in our mind. How do we treat our fellow Christians? How do we treat our fellow man? Are we loving one another? So it's read here in Zechariah. You don't need to be in the literal Jerusalem to worship God or to be a Christian. You can be one right where you are right now. You can be righteous through Christ. You need to be faithful. You need to follow him. You need to seek out instruction that helps you understand what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. But you and I, as Christians, we are blessed in Jesus. We have all the blessings through Christ Jesus our Lord. But we have to remember to love one another. We have to remember to walk in the truth. And we have to remember to be Christ-like in all that we do and say. The world is trying to catch us in a lie. And again, there are Christians who have lied. But Christianity itself is not a lie. There's no deception in Christianity. So I would encourage us to walk in the truth. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning, or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Straight is the road we're called to travel, many the trials along the way.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side. Trouble is always there before us, trusting in Jesus we can say.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day coming over on the other side.
Rejoice with the
saints in a heavenly land we'll ever abide.
So happy we'll be.
No more pain, no sorrow, saints we'll say goodbye.
There's a brighter day
out waiting for me on the other side. Riding with Jesus through the battle, standing on his amazing grace.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side. Trusting the one who died to save us, soon we shall see his blessed face.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day coming over on the other side.
Rejoice with the
saints in a heavenly land we'll ever abide.
So happy we'll be.
No more pain, no sorrow, sadness we'll say goodbye.
There's a brighter
day awaiting for me on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day coming over on the other side.
Rejoice with the
saints in a heavenly land we'll ever abide.
So happy we'll be.
No more pain, no sorrow, sadness we'll say goodbye.
There's a brighter
day awaiting for me on the other side. What a happy day is waiting for me on the other side.
On the other side.
I was a slave, in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me one glorious day.
brought me out, paid a debt I could not pay. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free.